Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. The texts for our meditation this morning are primarily the gospel reading from Matthew chapter 17 and then also the epistle reading from 2 Peter 1, 16 through 21. And throughout this season of Epiphany, we've been talking about all the ways that Jesus is revealed to be the Son of God. We saw this at the very beginning of the season on Epiphany Day itself, when the wise men came to visit baby Jesus, and they presented him with gifts fit for a king, and they worshiped him as a king. We saw this at Jesus' own baptism, when the voice of God came from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." We saw this in the Song of Simeon, in the presentation of Jesus, when Simeon held the baby Jesus in his arms and said, "My own eyes have seen your salvation." We've seen Jesus' glory in his teaching, when he teaches with one who has authority, not like the scribes. We've seen his glory in his healing, when he heals the sick, when he cleanses the lepers, when he raises the dead, when he preaches good news to the poor. And then we see his glory so clearly on the Mountain of Transfiguration today. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And the apostles of Jesus, Peter, James, and John, are witnesses to this. They are on the mountain with him, and they see his glory so clearly as he shines like the sun. And Jesus stands on top of the mountain, speaking with Moses and Elijah. Moses, that great leader of the people of Israel in the Old Testament, who spoke to God face to face. Moses, who received the law of God and gave the law of God to the people. And then Elijah, that great prophet of the Old Testament, who remained faithful to God even when so many people in Israel were not faithful, who battled the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. The great prophet of the Old Testament, Elijah, the great lawgiver, Moses, are there speaking with Jesus. And in this, it shows us that all the law of the Old Testament and all the prophets of the Old Testament, the whole Old Testament, are pointing to Jesus, are fulfilled in Jesus when Moses and Elijah are there conversing with Jesus on top of the mountain. And then to top it all off, if it wasn't enough to see Jesus shining like the sun, if it wasn't enough to see him talking to Moses and Elijah, Peter, James, and John and Jesus are enveloped in the cloud of the glory of God, and the voice comes from the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Those same words that were spoken of Jesus at his baptism by the Father are then echoed on the Mount of Transfiguration. "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And as we heard from our Old Testament reading, the cloud is not just some insignificant detail, but that was the very presence of God on Mount Sinai in the book of Exodus. And then that presence of God envelops them on the mountain to share with them that when they are with Jesus, they are in the presence of God. And the voice of God confirms, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Peter, James, and John see clearly who Jesus is. And then Jesus goes on to tell them what he must do. "So also the Son of Man will certainly suffer at their hands." Jesus tells them clearly that he is going to suffer and die. And before he says this, Jesus had told them, "Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." And this confirms what Jesus had just been telling his disciples one chapter earlier. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. Because the fact of the matter is this. As much as it would have been nice to just stay up on the mountain forever, in the presence of God, in the presence of Moses and Elijah, in the presence of Jesus shining like the sun, it would have been nice to stay up there. That wasn't the whole story. They had to go down the mountain. Jesus had to descend the mountain in order that he could accomplish his mission that he came there to do. To suffer and die and to rise again for the forgiveness of your sins and the forgiveness of my sins and to win our salvation and to crush death under his feet forever. And the disciples couldn't stay on the mountain because they had to see his suffering, death, and resurrection. And they had to be sent into the world to declare Jesus' salvation through his suffering, death, and resurrection to all people. This is the mission of salvation that Jesus was sent for. That he would accomplish it for us on the cross. And then that he would send his apostles into all the world. This is what he declares at the end of Matthew 28 before he ascends into heaven. And Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." They couldn't just stay up on the mountain as much as maybe Peter wanted to for a short period of time, but they had to go. They had to go into all the world to declare all that Jesus has said and to declare all that Jesus has done for them, for you, and for me. That word must go out into all the world. And that's the message that our text has for us today. That Jesus is revealed as the Son of God to his disciples on the mountain. And Jesus is revealed to us as the Son of God in the Holy Scriptures. Jesus is revealed to his disciples on the mountain, and Jesus is revealed to us in the Holy Scriptures. Because sometimes we have that same mentality as Peter. Lord, I wish I could stay there on the mountain forever. Lord, I wish that I could have seen your transfiguration with my own eyes. Then I'd really believe. Lord, show me a sign, something great and miraculous, and then I'll really believe. And what is the message Jesus would have for you if you were to say that? You have the Scriptures. You have Moses and the prophets. And on top of that, you have the message of the apostles, the eyewitnesses of all these things who deliver that message to you in the Holy Scriptures. You have the apostles that Jesus has promised. Whoever hears the apostles hears Jesus. So when you hear the Scriptures, you hear the very Word of God. And that's sufficient. That's enough for you. That's enough for you for faith, and that is enough for you for life. We don't need anything more. You don't need miraculous signs. Jesus, if you showed me this, then I'd really believe. No, you need the Scriptures. That's enough for us for faith and for life. Because we never want to discount the Scriptures or say that they're not as good as it would be to just see these things with your own eyes. Because they are the very eyewitness testimonies of these things, of Jesus' teaching, of his healing, of his transfiguration, of his suffering, death, and resurrection. And this is what our epistle reading from 2 Peter 1 has to say. "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased,' we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, and for we were with him on the holy mountain." They saw it with their own eyes, and they deliver it to you, so that you might see it as well with the eyes of faith. As St. Paul says in Romans chapter 10, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. When you hear the word of the apostles, you hear the word of Jesus, and this is the Holy Spirit working in you through the word to give you faith. And what those disciples saw on the mountain confirmed everything that the Old Testament prophets brought to us. It confirmed everything that they were pointing forward to, that God would send a Savior, that God would come to us to redeem His people. The disciples saw with their own eyes that everything in the Old Testament was confirmed in Jesus. And what they saw, they deliver to you. This is what St. Peter goes on to say. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The Old Testament scriptures are not just some random words of random guys, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Ghost. And this is what the scriptures confirm. All scripture is breathed out by God. All scripture is inspired by God. All scripture is the very word of God. That's the same for the Old Testament. That's the same for the New Testament, because those men that followed Jesus around and heard everything he said and saw everything that he did, suffer, die, and rise again, they deliver that word of Jesus to you in the New Testament. St. John puts this so beautifully in 1 John 1:1 through 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have gazed upon and touched with our hands, this is the word of life. And this is the life that was revealed. We have seen it and have testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And this fellowship of ours is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write these things so that our joy may be complete. The scriptures are not shaky. The scriptures are not second place. The scriptures are the wonderful gift from God that come down to us from heaven, from the men who spoke to Jesus face to face and give us what He said to them. As John said, what we have seen with our own eyes, what we have gazed upon and touched with our own hands, this is the word of life. That is the word of life that we hear. That is the word of life that we preach. That is the word of life that creates faith in our hearts to cling to Christ Himself, to grasp Him with our own hands, to see Him with our own eyes. You see His glory when you hear His testimony in the Holy Scriptures. That's what Jesus promised to His apostles in Luke 10:16. The one who hears you hears me. And the one who rejects you rejects me. And the one who rejects me rejects Him who sent me. Whoever hears the apostles hears Jesus. So when you hear the word of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when you hear the word of St. Paul, St. Peter, don't think that this is just some consolation prize, but see it as the very word of Jesus Himself. The word of Christ spoken to you in your hearts and for you, for your forgiveness, for your salvation. The New Testament scriptures are the inspired word of God because Christ speaks through the ones He sent. They tell us what they saw. When we hear them, we hear Christ. And like St. Peter said, they don't just speak cleverly devised myths. They're not just making random stuff up, but they give us Christ. When you hear the scriptures, when you hear the Old Testament, New Testament, you hear Christ. What does this mean for us? This means that the scriptures are our sure foundation. They are sufficient enough for us for faith and life. The scriptures give us faith, like St. Paul says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. The scriptures proclaim to us the message of salvation and forgiveness of sins that come through Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection. And then also, the scriptures tell us the will of God, how we are to be in this life as we walk in the ways of the Lord. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The scriptures give us faith and tell us how we're saved. The scriptures tell us the way that we are to walk. Think about this as we enter in this season of Lent. On Ash Wednesday, we enter in the season of Lent, which is going to be a focus on our sin, focus on repentance, and focus on our need for forgiveness. And during this time, where things do get difficult sometimes, during this time where maybe it's difficult to focus on our sins and repent of these things, make sure that the scriptures are your anchor during this time. The scriptures are the things that tell us what is a sin and what is not a sin. And when our sins have been exposed by the word of the law, hear the word of the scriptures that give you the word of forgiveness in Jesus. May the law of the scriptures and the gospel of the scriptures be the thing that shows you the way of salvation and righteousness in Christ through this season of Lent and through every day of your lives. And when we think about how in this Christian life we want to walk in the ways of Jesus, let the scriptures be your guide and not anything else. Not fads, not the word of man, the scriptures themselves. Have your anchor in the scriptures in this season of Lent, every season of this life, every day that you walk on this earth. Because in the scriptures, the eyewitness testimony of the apostles, we see the glory of Jesus revealed to us. And we see him in the scriptures until the day comes when we see him ourselves face to face when he comes again. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.